Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We jump right in. We'll have Yogi Roth a little bit later on in today's show. A couple other things we're working on that may come together. Looking forward to being with you over the next hour. I, last night, celebrated Thanksgiving in our household. We went and got a bird. We had all the stuff. We practiced social distance. I had my family here. We all got apart, and we all just needed to decompress. We were able to do that last night. Take a pin, stick it in the bubble, in the balloon, as all of us are feeling. That was my night. Eric is at his humble abode. Jordan is at his humble abode. They jump on in. How are you guys holding up?
I'm doing okay. I guess the $64,000 question for you, Brad, is did you have to go to Minneapolis to get that turkey?
You know, I found that turkeys in Thanksgiving usually run around $20.
Okay.
I found that turkeys in March run about 60.
A little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more. But I found that if you look around enough and say, I'm not paying $60 for a bird whose head is cut off and stuck up its backside. No, I'm not doing that. I found that if you're willing to drive around a little bit, you could actually get it below 50. But yeah, and the best part about it is I get turkey salad sandwiches for, I don't know, I get turkey soup. I get a lot of things. And I actually was able to, you know, sneak around a little bit on a piece of apple pie, a small, tiny piece. I don't want to upset Isagenix here, but I did that for, you know, this morning. So that was me. What about you, Jordan?
I just hope you didn't spend an extra $10 to $15 in gas driving around trying to save $10 to $15 on that turkey. So
gas is cheap. Gas is cheap right now. It's not as cheap as I thought it would be.
Why is it cheap? I wonder why. That's right. It's an election year.
With oil dropping and all that stuff. So what about you, Jordan?
I actually spent the evening. So I am teaching at the Cronkite School, teaching sports videography. And cool. So that is a little difficult when you're going strictly remotely and over Zoom. And this week we're supposed to be going over press conferences. So we went over the whole going through a molt box and getting there early and all this stuff. Yeah. And they're actually at class later this afternoon. They're going to be doing a press conference with a certain indoor wiffle ball player named Horden Jam. So I had to record myself playing indoor wiffle ball. So Sarah was throwing me wiffle balls and I was hitting them in the apartment and
that's awesome.
All of this sort of stuff. She was very concerned about me getting a little loose with the bat and, you know, the competitive edge takes over and, you know, maybe the TV goes flying, but we avoided any breakage. Nothing was broken. So, it was a welcome, hour and a half or not even that long, like a half hour where I got surprisingly sweaty just like doing this for my students.
Surprisingly sweaty. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You do that with life insurance. You can do that with annuities. You can do that with Peace Assured. All you have to do is log on, guys, as you're watching. As you are all working remotely, log on your phone to Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now has great products for you to look into. Protect what matters most. Look around your house. You've got people that rely on you. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Today is opening day of baseball. I think baseball has the time to grab the national spotlight that it has sorely been lacking over the last several years, with the NFL just being the 8,000-pound gorilla in the room. The NFL every day, and don't tell me they don't plan this stuff out. Every day they release a little bit of information over the last 2 weeks. They hold stuff back. They pick their times. Where baseball is sitting there saying, I don't know if we're going to do this or not. Here is Commissioner Rob Manfred on the 162-game season.
I don't have some absolute number in my mind that's a make or break. I think we have to evaluate the situation. I also think that we need to be creative in terms of what the schedule looks like, what the postseason format looks like. You know, obviously our fans love 162 game season in the postseason format that we have. We're probably not going to be able to do that this year. I think
it's good to hear that he would say we're not going to be able to do that this year. Guys, Scott Boros, the heavyweight agent yesterday, came out and said you could do World Series games in a neutral site in December, that's where we're going with this. Would you guys agree, disagree on that? Would you want to get involved with baseball later in the year this year? Does it matter to you? Or does baseball just wave the white flag? This is NFL, and that's the way it goes. Eric, start with you.
I definitely want to see baseball. This is such a weird day because just on social media, people are posting pictures, baseball pictures, memories, opening day, all that good stuff. I just wonder, I saw that interview that played last night, Brad, that you played on the show. And I just wonder at this point if it's even worth us speculating when we're going to see baseball, how many games they're going to play. Because the great unknown that's happening bigger than sports is just leaving a huge void and question mark moving forward. In terms of the World Series being played in December, if they can play it, play it. But until then, until we have some clarity on the bigger picture, I'm not even willing to speculate when we're going to see any sport again.
What about you, Jordan?
I think it's an opportunity to try out a shorter season. Look, I'm a seamhead. I love baseball, but I would have no issue if this was a 140-game season, a 125-game season, whatever it may be. Even, you know, put it down to 100 and see, kind of just see what happens. I know that this is the year to try something. You'll be forgiven if you try something and it doesn't work because people just want to see a product on the field. So, you know, I love the World Series and, you know, it not being a neutral site because those home experiences are so incredible. You know, and there's so much drama that I know if it wasn't a neutral site, it may not have that kind of oomph behind it. But again, you try it, it doesn't work. You can chalk it up to, well, yeah, there was a global pandemic going on. So we'll go back to our regularly scheduled program. So, you know, Brad, I totally agree with you. I think this is the time where baseball can get creative, can redo their product a little bit and grab the attention of the national audience, whether that's, you know, miking up players or, you know, showing all access type of deals once they get back to the field. But, you know, now is the time to try new things with really any sport, but especially baseball.
Well, so here's what you can't do. You can't start the sport and then stop the sport. So right. you got to pick a spot here where you're going to say, okay, we are going to come back. Is that yours, Jordan? Is that your fan honking at you? I like that.
I'm not sure what that was, but
yeah, that's all right. It's all right. So ordinarily I wouldn't pay attention to that, but I thought you had a fan there. So the country, though, having something to look forward to, I get it. I get that. Eric, I understand what you're talking about. You don't want to speculate on it. I think on opening day that we look at it and say, okay, if July 1st is the date that they do pick up the schedule from there, and it does roll into November, and if backs because warm weather cities are in a space where they can just have the dome. You can even play games in Milwaukee in the middle of November and December. Milwaukee's sitting there. They've got a dome. Go play some games there. And I think the hope of baseball is to do what Jordan said, and that is try some things that you've been intimating about doing. Get the umpire out of there. If you're worried about social distancing, then use the technology that you've all been talking about where, sorry, umps, you know, you can be up in the booth and you can overrule. I don't know, but you're not going to be out on the field with social distancing. That takes care of that. If it's a double play ball and you're not going to have a collision at second base, I don't know if the double play gets played or not. I don't know. But the idea of a sport coming back sooner than others, to me, baseball can do that. The Diamondbacks, we're just talking about on the field, they're probably middle of the road. They're a wild card team. They're not the Dodgers. I mean, the power is the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Astros, and the Tampa Bay Rays. That's it right now. And there's some other good teams in there. So, you know, for the Diamondbacks, this break probably allows Mike Leake to get healthy, probably allows Luke Weaver to get healthy. Those are two key parts in the Diamondbacks rotation. If we're just talking about on the field, this isn't a city in Phoenix where we're saying, yeah, we don't even need baseball because our team stinks. Our team blows. No, we actually have a pretty interesting team here. So I want to see it.
The other thing I think people need to take into account is if you, let's say you push this back to December and the World Series, how does that affect the 2021 season? Because right. then guys aren't getting their rest. And we know how finicky pitchers' arms can be. And, you know, the everybody's looking at innings limits and everything like that. So that's why I think I'm a little bit more in favor of a shorter season just to almost compartmentalize this year so it doesn't affect future years and, you know, maybe even have, you know, potential dead arm scenarios where in December when guys are like, look, typically I'm not throwing here, but I'm throwing in the biggest moments of the season right now. That could lead to some injuries that could have ramifications for future years down the road.
All right, we'll take a break here. Back with more after this timeout. So as we've done through this period of time, we check in with our friends, people that jump on the show with us from time to time to see how they're doing through all this. Pac-12 Network's Yogi Roth, he Skypes on in from his man cave, his home, but he's a teacher now. He's teaching his, five-year-old, right,
Yogi? Five-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, and what's the class schedule look like for the five-year-old?
Well, it's pretty intense, you know. We don't mess around here, you know. So you wake up in the morning, you get a little free time, and then he gets to talk to his buddies. His actually preschool is pretty cool. They all do like a Skype call in the morning for about 30 minutes, and then I come in the heavy hitter, and we do the alphabet, we do numbers, we do sounds. And then we get a little break to play, and then I do a science experiment, which has been hilarious. I've been putting it up on my YouTube channel of just like, I'm just Googling kid science experiments every night, and they're amazing what you could do with like water and soap and like a straw or whatever it is. So we've enjoyed that. And then we get a little gym class in the afternoon, you know, trying to get his change of direction up to speed. Maybe we get a Pac-12 offer out of this hiatus. They're, I know all the coaches are starved for looking at film, so maybe we'll take a look at Zane.
Yeah, fast twitch motion, and how many stars does he have next to his name, and what combines is he going to go to, and all that, right?
That's right. Hey, no star system in our house. Okay, we don't believe in that system. It's all about effort, execution, and I tell him all the time, even when we're playing Uno, you got to say good game and shake it out at the end, and the opponent shouldn't know who won or lost based on your reaction.
That's great. That's great. I want to get to a bunch of things. You have a daily podcast. Let's just plug that right out of the gate, too, that's starting to drop with the Pac-12 Network next week. What's that going to be all about?
It's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be Mike Yam, Ashley Adamson, and myself kind of rotating. We're all, I believe, obsessed with kind of the daily quick-hitting podcast forms. You know, you and I do more long-form interviews at time. Of course, you do a bunch of short-form stuff on your show. So we're excited to kind of give Pac-12 fans a podcast, you know, every single day, 5 days a week. You'll get it by the time you wake up, regardless if you're on the East Coast and you're a Pac-12 fan banging the drum for the conference out there or out here. And it'll be a variety show. You know, you'll hear breaking news. You'll hear coach interview, student athlete interview, former player interview. It's going to be really fun because creatively for Mike, Ashley, and myself, we get to be a melting pot with our producers and our team. So it's kind of fun for me, man. I get to live in like the Yogi Raw Show, Ted and Yogi's Pac-12 Adventure podcast, which are long-form deep dives, and then boom, be super specific with Mike and Ashley and bring something that I think our fans are looking forward to, and as creatives and artists, we can't wait to get at it.
No, there's no question about it, because you do film, you're an author, you do a lot of different things, so football is not who you are, it's just one of the many things that you do, and that's why I like having you on, because there's a lot of different ways you go on this. Let's get into the Pac-12 first, and I want to go a little bit young in recruiting, but first on the Pac-12 side of things, the drop dead date to have an entire season for the Pac-12 in college football in your mind is?
I think it's actually going to be able to be pushed really late, to be honest. Like the Olympics had to get postponed, and I just, you know, Ted and I talked about it yesterday on our podcast because Ted Robinson is such an acclaimed broadcaster within the Olympic Games. Yep. You had to do it because people are flying from everywhere. The preparation, you have to qualify for it. Right now, and I've talked to coaches around our conference and strength trainers, you know, they're doing their best to keep kids engaged as teachers. You know, the NCAA permits 2 hours per week in the offseason where coaches can meet with their student athletes. So they're taking advantage of that now with spring ball being canceled. So they're still installing their defense at USC, for instance, with Todd Orlando. I'm sure the same at Arizona State, both sides of the ball. They're taking advantage of it. So I don't think it's like June 1st. You know, to me, I think we'll know. We'll have an idea June 1st. If this thing hasn't flattened, you know, if we're not feeling safe, then, you know, I'd imagine we could probably foreshadow a degree. But I think you can wait all the way up until August. You know, I think there's a world where maybe you don't play non-conference games, you know, and everybody has to just play 8 or 9 conference games. Imagine that for the Pac-12 conference, right? You don't play Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Notre Dame, you know, the 4 biggest non-conference opponents from the respective teams in the conference. So I'm not freaking out on that regard. I'm sure the conference and college football probably follow an element of what the NFL does. So I'd imagine the NFL is going to wait to the last possible moment and maybe we get into bridge training camp. So I don't think there's a hard date that we're talking like May 15th or anything like that. Like we've seen, you know, specifically around the Olympics.
Spring football had a lot of fans that have asked, does this hurt ASU, U of A, help ASU, U of A? Where do you come down on not having spring football at all?
Well, they got a couple, right? I mean, ASU got the most 7 practice out of anybody in the conference. U of A got they get 2 in maybe, I think, 1 or 2. I think it hurts them for sure, especially I've known Paul Rhodes since I was 18 years old. He was my defensive coordinator when I was at Pitt, you know, the new D coordinator there. You look at that, pretty much that whole side of the ball is brand new. So there's an element there, but there's a lot of programs in the conference that are going to feel that, right? Look at Colorado, for instance. Brand new everything as late as you could possibly imagine, at least as late as we've seen in the history of college football, to my recollection of a coaching change, you know, in terms of the calendar. So I think it's going to hurt them. I think it's going to hurt everybody. I think ASU, with the amount of players they have coming back, I mean, I keep a schedule to my left here and I predict the games, and I think they'll win at least 9 games next year. And I think a lot of it is because of their defense. We're talking about multiple 3-year starters who are 3rd-year players. Obviously, offensively, they're bringing back a lot. There are rave reviews around the 2 young running backs that came in mid-year in role of these receivers. They've got depth. So I'm, out of all the teams, like, I'm probably most confident in that, you know, in Arizona State. When I look at the entire Pac-12 landscape, I'm honestly, like, you can go down the list. Oregon is the favorite, but they lost so much on the offensive front and quarterback. You got to be cohesive there. Spring ball, those 15 practices do that. You look at UW, brand new scheme, at least on the offensive side, and the quarterback will have taken less than 30 snaps in his career, if 0, at the 3 guys that are looking at it. So you're looking at the mainstay programs. They needed this more so than ASU, in my opinion, because of the changes. So out of everybody, Arizona State's probably in pole position in terms of comfort level.
One other question on the field with ASU, and that is Jaden Daniels. From what you saw in year number 1, what's his ceiling? Where do you think he can go?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can't wait. Next week, I've got slotted on my calendar during our rest period and in our class day. I'm going to watch every critical snap of every quarterback returning. So that's 3rd down, red zone, backed up. So I'll be able to give you like some really cool cut-ups next week, which you'll dig. But I got to see Jaden on spring break. He came to the Elite 11 camp in Los Angeles. He came with his mom. And I went right up to him. I was like, man, like he's never going to fill out like Andrew Luck. Like, that's just not his body type. But he'll fill out, to me, like Jared Goff filled out. And Jared Goff still, to this day, is still growing. And you get to see him in the offseason and watch his body develop. Jaden's the same way. So he was very much like Jared as a freshman, about 170 pounds, soaking wet. And you could tell he put on some weight. And I always go to quarterbacks. For me, it's the lower body. And if you did side by side, and we'll do this to start off the game next year if I'm calling, if they go Thursday night, their first game of the year, and I'm on it, we'll take drops from Jaden Daniels. And the biggest area of development, I think, for quarterbacks is their leg strength and lower body strength. And when you're dropping as a freshman, you're usually a little slower. The explosiveness isn't there. When I saw him, you could tell that that's an area for him that he'll grow. So you'll see him subtly move in the pocket. And that's his game. That's where he can really thrive, where it's over one, up one, avoid the rusher, drop a dime down the sideline. And he knows how to manipulate the pocket. He showed that as a freshman. So to answer the question about the ceiling, he's got a chance to be one of the best, if not the best of all time, at that institution. based on everything around him, the tutorship and mentorship that he has, and the program. I mean, we need to talk about ASU no longer as the sleeping giant, but as a legit contender in the Pac-12 conference for a Rose Bowl bid. And I think that's a fair statement to make about this team this year, next year, maybe even the following year. And we'll see what happens with Herm. Does he continue on after the Jaden Daniels era there? We'll see. But the program is in the best position and the healthiest in my eyes that I've ever seen it. And I've been in this league almost 20 years now, from the Pac-10 to today. So Jaden's ceiling, he's got a chance to be the best one that I've seen personally in the last 20 years and get in the conversation of the Jake Plummers of the world.
Wow. Before I get you out of here, I'm talking with Yogi Roth. Give me a message or send a message, because you do work with the Elite 11. You do follow recruiting. I'm really concerned about high school seniors that are not back in school. Maybe it's just here in Arizona, but I think it's across the board. High school seniors that are ready to go to the next level, that are not in a space to finish strong. They may not have laptops. They may be single mom. They may be single dad. They may not have resources. Parents may have lost jobs. I'm concerned about juniors. I mean, I can be concerned about all high schoolers. I've got a 15-year-old. But I'm seeing kids that are falling through the cracks here in the last couple of weeks that don't realize the damage that they could do to their recruit ability. So I'm asking you, as a parent, as somebody who follows the game, is inside and out, the message that you would send to these kids and their parents, their guardians, and coaches.
Yeah, I'd say, and I share this quote with Elite 11 quarterbacks day one every year for the last 11, 12 years, which is pay attention to your intention, period. Right. And I'm with you. I mean, my sister is a superintendent of schools in Brooklyn, and the amount of kids that are falling through the cracks because of what's going on right now with the pandemic is, you know, massive. Yeah. Same thing with teenagers, right? They have so much more at their fingertips. You know, it's such a unique time. So I tell them all, I've been talking to high school kids throughout this process of, what's your intention? You want to earn a scholarship. You want to get education paid for. You want to achieve your dream. Okay, cool. Pay attention to it. And now you can go back in and create specific cut-ups from your highlights. You can go back in, and we created a video online for quarterbacks where can you learn? Like, we scrubbed the internet and put together a 20-minute video of, like, things you learn from Tom versus Time, from Drew Brees, from Matt Ryan. You know, there's so much free content out there. So if it's real, and I always tell the quarterbacks this and other kids, if you love it, your reactions will prove that you love it and you'll do anything to protect it. If you love being recruited, well, that's clearly going to change, because no one's going to be on your campus in May anymore. The Elite 11 have canceled all events for the next 2 months. No recruiters are going to ask for interviews anymore. I mean, it's just not happening. So you either love what the game does for you, which is the pats on the back and all the hype, or you love what you can do for the game and your intention around it. And that, to me, is where I start and end with this thing of, if you love it, you'll protect it. And if that's your intention, then you'll pay attention to it. And if not, if your intention's other things, then that you'll naturally drift there. And in times like this, we've seen that happen. And I think it's on you. You're doing it. Me, we bear that burden of responsibility to educate and put some guardrails in our arms around some of these kids, at least virtually, to say, hey, man, I don't know, what were you doing right there, whether it's on social media or something that we've heard of, you know, in the community.
Yep. No, that's the best way to put it. And I think we really need to do more of that. I appreciate your time and insight. Get back to teaching and stay in touch.
Anytime, bro. Stay safe.
There's Yogi Roth with us via Skype from his home office, as he does what he does so well with the Pac-12 Network. And again, his daily podcast will start dropping next week. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So while we are all stuck at home, there's one guy every day that I look forward to hearing from. It's Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci stands up alongside of President Trump. Dr. Fauci just seems like the smartest man in the room. What has been frustrating to me through all this, and I don't know about you, is I can't seem to get an answer from anybody about what it is that we are facing, and I don't need this might be a good date or that may be a great date. So Dr. Fauci spoke yesterday about how this that we're in right now may not be over with. This is really interesting. I think it's something you need to know.
In the Southern Hemisphere, in Southern Africa, and in the Southern Hemisphere countries, is that we're having cases that are appearing as they go into their winter season. And if, in fact, they have a substantial outbreak, it will be inevitable that we need to be prepared that we'll get a cycle around the second time.
a second time, meaning it could be sometime in our winter time.
It totally emphasizes the need to do what we're doing in developing a vaccine, testing it quickly, and trying to get it ready so that we'll have a vaccine available for that next cycle.
Okay, so very important part there. And if you think that, hey, Brad, stick to sports, well, let me fill you in on something. Dr. Fauci, even as we're speaking, is with Steph Curry. Steph Curry has invited Dr. Fauci to be a guest of his on Instagram today. Very smart of Steph Curry to say, I want to get the message out as an athlete. We're all impacted by this. The idea of I just want to stick to sports, I don't want to talk about anything but sports, that's not happening right now. And so to have someone like Dr. Fauci with Steph Curry today, I think that's important. What I like about Drew Brees even more, so the NFL and other sports entities have been touting how they've been giving $1 million or $500,000, and it's great. It's great. We're the NFL, man. Our franchise is giving $1 million. So Drew Brees steps up today and says, I am giving $5 million. I, one player, am giving $5 million. So I'm not going to knock anybody giving, but if one player can give $5 million, I'm thinking I could be just crazy on this. I'm sure there's NFL teams that are saying, we don't have more than $1 million. Let's just do that. So good for Drew Brees to just stick it out there and say, I'm going to give $5 million on my own today. That's awesome. I just love that story. In terms of Yogi Roth, Eric, did you, I know you're working on some stories. Did you hear Yogi?
I did not.
Conversation. Nope. Yeah. So he dropped a few things there. Jaden Daniels could be the best quarterback to come out of the Pac-12. Ever. Jaden Daniels could be the best quarterback at Arizona State. Arizona State, no longer a sleeping giant. Things that you and I have talked about years where fans are like, oh, I can't believe you're so critical of us. Really? You guys go to the Sun Bowl every year. I mean, what do you want? You win 6 games. It's not like you're, you know, but we both have seen that they're finally, it looks like the Titanic is starting to turn the corner. I mean, it's only been since Jake Plummer took him to the Rose Bowl the last time they were in Pasadena. And I don't care what happens in Tucson. That's not who you compare against. They're not good. I know that. But for Yogi to step up like that and just bring his fastball today, I know you're not surprised by this, but no. Maybe you are in terms of Jaden being that good.
I think Jaden Daniels will be the best quarterback ever to play at Arizona State. I don't know if I would go as far as Yogi Roth did, but in terms of ASU being the sleeping giant, until you put together like 3 or 4 10-plus win seasons, guess what? You're still the sleeping giant. It's all about what have
still
you done
sleeping.
Lately.
You're what not even you a giant. You're not even a giant. You're just sleeping, right?
Just... Yeah. I think great expectations are fine, but I'm much more into great results than great expectations. So,
so to that end, if you're going to say that Jaden Daniels can be the best quarterback to come out of ASU and or the Pac-12, then that means they will have won Rose Bowls, because you can't say that for a quarterback that is winning the Vegas Bowl. You can't say that for a quarterback who's going to El Paso to play Florida State. You simply can't say that. So the measurement has got to be off of getting big results for your team. It can't be statistically, right?
Yes. But I mean, best quarterback ever to come out of the Pac-12, better than Ryan Leaf, better than Troy Aikman, better than any of those USC quarterbacks. I mean,
John Elway.
Potentially.
Potentially.
He lived up to all the hype last year.
Danny Sullivan?
Every single bit of it.
Akili Smith?
Well, Akili Smith was a great college quarterback.
Joey Harrington
was a great college quarterback. Danny Sullivan? Have you been...
Still fans of Danny Sullivan.
Nipping off the cooking sherry?
Nipping on the cooking sherry.
I don't even know what that means.
What was his name?
Like my grandparents would say, but what's a cooking sherry?
Cooking sherry is stuff that's in the cooking cabinet that you pour on your nice It's like sherry. Do you drink sherry? Do you know sherry?
No.
You don't know sherry. Okay. Well, you're not. You don't do much on that front, so it's fine.
Not really.
Better than Kyle Bowler?
Kyle Bowler, probably.
Jared Goff? He's
probably already better than Kyle Bowler.
Jared Goff?
Clearly, you found a list because we're going by schools here.
So. No, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I don't have a list. What was his name? Willie Tuatama?
He's better than Willie Tuatama. All right.
I just was,
better than Dan Fouts? I mean, like, yeah. Like that's those are pretty.
Well, that's going way back.
About are pretty big names.
That's going way, way, way back. No, I'm soaking that in, but what he had to say today. Herm Edwards made it on ESPN the other day, and he was talking about players and players staying in touch with them in this day and age.
There's a lot of work still to be done when you think about the practice schedules, as far as training camp. All those things. Now they've been adjusted some, as everybody has to adjust in the situation we're in right now. Yeah, we're all connected, and I think that's the magic of the ability to have the iPhone. And obviously now, you know, you can Zoom, you can talk to players, they can talk to you, they can call you. So you know that's the uniqueness of it all. I mean, we can still stay connected even though we're far apart. So we use it to our to our abilities to get in contact with our players for sure. And that's one thing the coaches do. They reach out to their players every day and have a conversation with them.
I think that, Eric, we're going to see when this passes, and I'm hopeful that it'll pass. And like you said earlier, we don't know, but I'm hopeful that it will pass. I think we're going to see programs that really had their stuff together and programs that may not have. And I think that's going to happen in high school and college, but because we're so college centric here, if we just focus on the college end, if you're a college program, and I saw an interview last night with a couple coaches that were talking about July 1st is really, if we're not ready to go by July 1st, then we're probably going to have to push the season back. Yogi intimated that maybe you could just get rid of the non-conference games and push the schedule. Yeah. And he would know. I mean, he has conversation with the Pac-12 network. So he would know about that. But if you do eliminate your non-conference games, it doesn't impact Arizona State this year because they don't have a big non-conference game. I mean, UNLV is not a big non-conference game.
Right.
But I believe that, like, the USC-Notre Dame game is late in the year. And he listed a couple of teams that were games that would be played early in the season. Like if it was a year ago, Oregon wouldn't have played Auburn. Let's just put it out there. So you have to go back and look at who are the non-conference teams that would drop off the schedule if you didn't pick the schedule up until, let's say, mid-September. And would that impact in the college football playoff and the CFP, would that impact the Pac-12 conference, which is already pretty much playing behind the eight ball?
Right. That's an interesting point he made. I mean, you could just start in league play, but correct. I wonder how that would work because sometimes tiebreakers are decided by things other than league play. I know that's way, way down the road, but coaches, you know, it's all about, you use this term a lot, Brad, being nimble. A lot of programs right now have to be nimble because everyone's working remotely. They're trying to get creative, like Jordan talked about yesterday with what Minnesota is doing, taking kids on these virtual tours. And I agree with you. There are the programs that are prepared are probably going to get the greatest benefits from what we are experiencing right now in the future.
Well, it's. I'll just take it right to what we're doing. We could have sat around and said, oh, we can't get on the air. we just can't be together. We can't do this show. And have there been some hiccups and some bumps? Sure. But it's like, you know, I think the companies that are sitting there right now that are just frozen, like, I don't know what I can do. And I can't do anything. I think there's probably some of that going on. It only makes sense in college athletics. It only makes sense that if you don't have a great leader at the top of the food chain as the athletic director. But I think Arizona State has a terrific leader in Ray Anderson, a terrific leader. Okay. I don't think they're going to come out of this frozen. I don't know Dave Hickey at U of A. I know that the football program is so far off the radar and so far off the tracks that I don't know what they may be like, look like when they come out of this. I don't know. And the longer this goes, you're going to have, you know, not to get too deep on this, but last night I'm having a conversation with someone who works in the medical industry at a hospital. And this person said what they are seeing mostly now in trauma, because there's so few people out on the roads, they're not seeing much trauma. The trauma they're seeing are people that kill themselves right now.
Yep. Yep.
The mental health side of this. And so go into sports, right? If you're a coach and you can't be around people and things at home aren't good, and your football program, you may know a year out, boy, if we don't have a good season this year, I'm done. I'm fired. I'm toast. And you can't do anything about it right now, you might melt. And so I really feel like when this gets put behind us at some point, we'll see which programs really have their stuff together. And on the high school end, Yogi and I had a great conversation about this. He's concerned about it. His sister's in education, in high school education in New York. You know, you talk about kids that are falling between the cracks that are seniors in high school and juniors in high school in New York City right now. Are you kidding me? But take that to where we are right now out here. You deal with high school kids. I deal with high school kids. We talk with parents. Jordan does. That's part of what we do. There are high school kids and parents right now that are blowing up. They're tired of being around each other. They're not getting any instruction. They're in a space where they've gone, 3 weeks now, 2 weeks now without training potentially. And it doesn't look like that tomorrow it's going to be flip the switch and you can go back to doing it. So what's it going to look like a month from now? All the habits that have been learned, takes 30 days to learn a habit, right? Set a new habit. Takes 60 days in some people's minds. That stuff's the window. So we're going to have some 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds that have just fallen by the wayside. They're going to show up out of shape. They've not eaten well. All they've done is gamed. Their habits are odd. I've got a 15-year-old, so I'm seeing it firsthand, and I'm on him. And they can't go interact with each other right now. So I think it's a really interesting time. And what Dr. Fauci said is, if there's a whip around from this in our winter time where this comes back, you know, what will a conference like the Pac-12 do to get their football games played? And what will their players look like? Not just in football, but in all sports.
I found it interesting what you said earlier about professional athletes, because you and I have talked on the show many times about what do professional athletes do when their playing career ends. And I wonder how many professional athletes right now are already thinking about, okay, I should be in my season right now. We should be in OTAs or whatever. I should be training, but I'm not doing anything. It's sort of foreshadowing what it's going to be like, because these professional athletes they're not doing much right now. And I kind of thought about that the other night, because you and I have talked to a lot of, especially at the football level, it seems like, a lot of retired NFL players that kind of don't know what that next step in life is, because they've been a football player since they've been 5 years old. Well, how many baseball players today are thinking, okay, well, I'm not playing baseball and it's opening day in 5 years, 3 years, 4 years, this is going to be me. Do you think any of those baseball players are having that conversation?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I call them lost souls. The lost souls that are out there when they don't know what to do with themselves, when they run out onto the field, baseball in particular, you talk about a routine sport. Baseball is total routine. I got to go to the park. I've got to be there at 1:30. I've got to do this at 2:30. I've got to do this at 3:30. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Game ends. Don't know when the game ends, but then I've got to go get something to eat. Then I got to go unwind. Then I got to go home and face wife, kids, pressures, get up the next day and do it all over again. Instead, they're stuck at home and they're finding out that being like Yogi's teaching his 5-year-old school. It was great. You know, I love that. I love that he's a stay-at-home teacher right now. That's awesome. But for these players, Eric, to your point, they are sitting there saying, maybe the problem is us here at home. Maybe it's not the teacher, the reason why my kid is acting up. Maybe my kid is screwing around too much. I'll just give you a quick, funny little thought here. So these kids are being told to download an app. It's a learning app, right? So that's how they're going to go through school, high school and junior high and all that. So what I'm hearing from my kids is how when you review an app, if you give it a 1-star, it lowers the app. And eventually the app drops off. So guess what kids are doing? They're giving reviews 1-star. And a week ago, this learning app was a 4.9. Now it's down to a 3.1. And it's eventually going to drop off. So the kids are going to say, I can't find the app.
Where did the app go? What am I supposed to do?
Right. Wow. I didn't have the app. So that's how kids think, right? And so I think with athletes, it's much in the same space right now. It's much the same space, but good stuff. Well, I know you're working on a good story. I'll let you go. And good seeing you. It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen you. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Good job there, as always, keeping us moving forward. And we've got plenty of content. Eric's got a cool story that he's been working on the last couple of days. It's going to pop up on the site maybe today at sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. Have a great day.